tires. Good morning. And Happy New Year to all of you. We are so glad that you're here to worship with us this morning. Our pastors, Paul and Stacy Stimson Duke, are away in Georgia visiting her father and brother. They will return to the pulpit next week. We wish Wilma a happy birthday today. And we are very pleased to welcome to lead our worship today a new friend of ours. Dick Bowser and his wife, Helen Louise, joined the congregation this fall, but they both already feel like longtime friends. We have lots of connections with members in this congregation. Dick grew up in Niagara Falls, but graduated from Kalamazoo College, which is a pretty familiar place to many of us. He and Helen Louise met at Colgate Rochester, where they received their divinity degrees. Both are ordained American Baptist pastors, and they have served churches in New Hampshire, Granville, Ohio, which we remember from Ed Voss's time with us, and in Rhode Island, where Helen Louise also served as associate executive minister there. They have had interim ministries at the First Baptist Church of Seattle and North Shore Baptist Church in Chicago, which is where our own David Gregg is now on staff. They moved to IPSI in September from Durham, North Carolina, and they have three daughters, one in Texas, one in Durham, and another in Ypsilanti, with six grandchildren and only one granddaughter in all of those, right? Yes. They have wonderfully endeared themselves to this church in many ways in this short time, but this is a good example. At the very beginning of Advent, they gifted the staff with this huge bowl filled with very special chocolate to give us strength to make it through Advent. And even though Paul and Stacy aren't here, they did survive. We all survived. The music survived. And so I know that the staff did not empty this completely. Any of you who made visits into the office, you may also thank Helen Louise and Dick for this special gift. We are grateful for your willingness to serve us today. Thank you, and thank you for being part of our church family. After worship, we have a time of fellowship downstairs. There are no second hour classes, so you have lots of time to just relax and chat and catch up with one another. Please note in your bulletin the new adult classes, excuse me, and our schedule that will resume to normal next Sunday. I want to draw your attention to the Shared Suppers. It's a new fun activity that Mary Davis is coordinating for the Board of Caring community. There's a sign-up sheet at the information counter, and you should get your names on there soon because the first Shared Supper will be happening in a short time. Another announcement is that we are taking down all of our special Advent and Christmas decorations today after fellowship time, and we invite all of you to come back after fellowship time. Meet us here at 11:30 and help, and the more we have, the quicker it will go. A special note to our families. I'm afraid that Catherine, our caregiver in the nursery, called in sick today. The nursery is open if you would like to use it, but you'll have to stay with your child. And another important announcement, please take a poinsettia. Please, because I'm afraid they just stay here and die. So you may foster a poinsettia and take it home and keep it alive for several more months, I'm sure. We have heard the tidings of great joy, and we begin this new year with the hope that was revealed in the manger. We begin this new year knowing that God is with us. Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel.
Please stand if you're able. Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, who creates each new day and each new year, we have worshiped the Christ child with the angels and the shepherds. Now we seek his presence here so that we can proclaim it and live in it in this new year. We come before you now looking both backward and forward. Help us to know and feel your presence in both our memories and in our hopes and dreams. We pray in the name of the Christ, babe in a manger, resurrected Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
This is the day the Lord has made. This is the year the Lord has made. All our years and all our seasons are held in God's gracious name. Hand. Reading from the Psalms. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, as another year has drawn to a close, and as we stand on the threshold of this new year, we look back to the ways we have been brought to this time and this place. We think of your loving kindness and your faithfulness to all generations, and we give you thanks. Especially, we give you thanks for your servants, Stacy and Paul, for the inspiration and pastoral care and prophetic ministry they have brought to us. We give you thanks for Sue Ellen and for the loving ministry she brings to us and to our children. For Bonnie and Shanae and our choir, for the beauty and quality of their music and the ways in which their music has lifted our spirits over and over again, and for Kat and for the many behind-the-scenes ministries she performs day after day and week after week. We thank you for the fellowship of this congregation and each of its members, and the part they play in lifting up the light and inspiration of your word and opening the comfort and guidance of your Holy Spirit to us all. We thank you for Jesus, whose coming to us we have celebrated in recent weeks with the beautiful decorations and joyful carols and heartwarming stories. We thank you for the call to follow him in his way of love. But God, as we stand here on the threshold of this new year, we look back over the year just ended, not only with thanksgiving and joy, we also grieve, for there are things that seem to have gone terribly wrong and may bring lasting disappointments into this new year and beyond. We pray for strength to go on and to work to make all things good and strong and just. We lift up for your blessing all of those whose lives have known hardship and injustice and unkindness. We pray for them and for ourselves, especially now, standing on the threshold of this new year. We look ahead with a sense of foreboding and yet daring to believe that we can and we will move closer to the ways that are your ways and which will bring your kingdom on earth closer to us and to all people. We lift up in prayer now the family of Marguerite Wright, the Grinchensons, Claudia and Valeria and David, Jim and Sandy, your servants Ellie, Juanita, Pat, Iris, Wally, Saw, Logan, and Dottie. Now let us offer the prayer the Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will you stand for the gospel? Reading from the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things in her heart. Then the shepherds returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it was told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus. The word of the Lord. Just so you know that I know, the main priority of a guest preacher is to make the congregation happy to have their pastor back next Sunday. The scriptures tell the story of what happened once upon a time. It's not a fairy tale, however. What we read in the scriptures about what happened once upon a time really happened. Not only that, it happened again. Not only that, it happens still. And not only that, we believe it will continue to happen. It's the story of what God has done and is doing and will do. It's the story of God's gift to God's people, which is not a luxury item for people who have everything. It's something that's needed. It is God's answer to those who have come to God, as the psalmist put it, out of the depths, and have cried for help. Ultimately, it's the story of why Christmas happened in the first place. I think I need to say here, if you've never had that kind of experience, the kind where the psalmist talked about feeling traumatized and utterly helpless, then this sermon probably is not for you and probably will be no help for you. Like, it's only if we have been there that the story will make any sense to us. Only so can we understand the pathos of the psalmist, crying out of the depths, God, listen to me, help me, answer me. I'm waiting, God. I hope none of us are at that place today. But my assumption is most, if not all of us, have been there one time or another. There's nothing to celebrate if we have never been to that place. And then later, at the other place, where we're able to say, God does help. God can be trusted. God keeps faith forever. God looks after God's people. God lifts up those that have been knocked down by life. God lifts them up and goes with them. Many of us who have been at both places say, we have received God's gift through Jesus, the one whose birth we celebrated last week. God heard our cry. God came to redeem us. God was in Jesus, reconciling us to God, bringing us out of the depths, lifting us up, being with us, accepting us, forgiving us, letting us in. And when we made no room for God, God made room for us. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And that light is the life of all the world. And the darkness cannot put it out. That's what happened once upon a time. That's the story of the gift. There was light. There is light. There will be light. I don't think it's an accident of history that we celebrate God's gift to us at this time of year, the darkest time of the year in our part of the world, the least hopeful time of year. And it's cold, and it's bleak, and it's dark. There's a poem by Christopher Fry, you may know it. The darkest time of the year, the poorest place in town, cold and a taste of fear. Man and woman alone. What can we hope for here? More light than we can learn, more wealth than we can treasure, more love than we can earn, more peace than we can measure, because one child is born. God's gift of light and peace is more than we could ever dream, because one child is born. Now, when I start talking about these things, there's something I am apt to do, and I hope you can forgive me for it. I'm apt to romanticize the gift too much. And when I say romanticize, what I mean is I'm apt to deal with only part of the story and then change that story into something other than what it is, which was especially easy to do in those weeks when we were moving toward Christmas, to see only the child as the gift and then to miss out on all the wonder and joy of all that God had done in Jesus. You know, that cute little baby, no crying he makes, grew up. He became a man. He did wonderful things, unique things, going from Bethlehem and Nazareth throughout Galilee and Samaria and Judea, touching as teaching as no one had ever taught before, proclaiming a kingdom that would be, revealing truths about God that never before had been seen. The child became a man whose ministry was marked with self-giving and self-denial and sacrifice, and then symbolized with bread and a cup and a cross. When we were looking toward Christmas, it was easy to think about the child and to neglect the important things God did in Jesus. It was easy to romanticize the gift, certainly for me. Looking toward Christmas, see, it's always easy to celebrate the special joys, the excitement and the spirit of the season, to enjoy the traditions, the Advent wreath, the decorations, Santa Claus and presents and candlelight. But when I do that, sometimes, I let myself forget what I know about people and about myself, that it's hard to be a person. Sometimes I allow myself to forget that question that has been asked so often, and it takes many forms, but it's always the same question, that question which, when it comes out of the depths, out of feelings of lost and lostness. As I said earlier, I believe it's a question which most, if not all of us, have found ourselves asking one time or another, and more times than we want, certainly. It's that question, when it comes, is the only question there is, and it's real. Out of the depths I cry to you, O God, how am I supposed to cope? How do you expect me to go on? See, on the one side, we heard the songs of Christmas. And on the other side were the noises of the world and of people crying out. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. How can I go through Christmas? I'm so alone. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. How can I put up with these screaming kids anymore, in these dirty diapers, in these dirty dishes, in this dirty house? Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Too much to do, too much pressure, too many demands. Good Christian folk, rejoice, rejoice. I can't stand the pain. I'm so lonely. Nobody cares, nobody. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. How can I go on? Angels bending near the earth, how can I cope? Joy to the world, how? Jingle bells. Once upon a time, 2,000 years ago, what about this time? What about now? What about me? How am I supposed to go on? Out of the depths, O God, I cry to you. The darkest time of the year, the poorest place in town, cold and a taste of fear, man and woman alone. What can we hope for here? How can what happened once upon a time 2,000 years ago happen again for me? How can I receive the gift? Well, you've heard the answer before. You know it. It's nothing new. It's taking that leap from the outer edge of the things we know to the risk of believing that God is, that love is. And that's scary. With not much hope left, but trusting that the gift of grace will support us all the day long. See, it's scary to take the leap of faith beyond the outer things that we know, even if our courage allows us to take only a cautious half step into what the poet called the darkest time. But it requires that much courage of faith to learn that what happened once upon a time happens still. And to discover the gift, hey, there's a lamp to my feet. I can go on. Once upon a time, salvation, and again, salvation. Of course, that does not mean faith makes all the troubles disappear and headaches go away and the fears. And it doesn't mean that the grave will give back one that death took from us. And it doesn't mean that the pressures will be eased and that even if we pray our heart out, the cup might not pass from us. It's for us as it was for the shepherds after they beheld the gift. They went back to the fields. They went back to the real world. They went back to all those issues they had to take care of and deal with. That's what we have to do when we go every week back to the real world. But to go out there to the edge of what we know, and from there to take the leap of faith, however small and faltering that leap might be, even if it's like only just putting a toe into the water to test the temperature, enough to be able to say, okay, God, I'm going to try. That's all it takes to receive the wonder and the joy of knowing the real gift of God. There is light enough. The darkest time, and look at that, a lamp to my feet. Surprise, I can go on. The darkest time of the year, what could I hope for here? Light, love, peace, joy, because one child is born. Once upon a time, and again, and again, and again, and again. Thanks be to God. Amen. The morning offering will be received at this time. God, out of your abundance, we have experienced spiritual and material blessings beyond measure. Out of that same abundance, we offer back to you expressions of our gratitude and our desire to make known your goodness here and throughout the world with ministries of caring and helping and serving through Jesus our Lord. Amen.